Hi, this is Mrs. Bowen, and I'm going to be reading Chapter 16 from Fenway and Hattie. Whoa, I'm the one who lost the game. Why is Hattie upset? She holds me up at arm's length. She gazes at me intently, her eyebrows narrowed. Fenway, she yells, louder and madder than ever. She keeps on yelling and yelling. She does not even sound like Hattie. She sounds like somebody I don't know, and she looks like somebody I don't know, too. Her shoulders are tense, and her hands are trembling. Her face is puffed and furious. Her eyes are pooling with wetness. Bad, bad dog, she cries, her breath becoming uneven. Her voice is a horrible mixture of fury and grief. Tears start spilling down her cheeks. Bad, bad dog, she wails between sobs. My ears are sagging, my eyes wincing. It hurts too much to look at her face. Even my fur is drooping with sadness. I try to shrink, I try to recoil, but she's holding me tight and there's nowhere to hide. Bad, bad dog, she cries over and over like she's the one who's in pain. Why is this happening? Why is Hattie angry at me? We were playing chase, her favorite game. We were having fun. I even let her win. Hattie turns my face back toward hers, so I can't look away. She keeps saying those terrible words, bad, bad dog, right into my eyes, like somehow I'm going to understand. I can't bear to watch, Goldie mutters. Or listen, says Patches. And I was beginning to think things couldn't get worse. The ladies were right. Hattie's changed. And now on top of this horrible agony, I have to suffer humiliation too. All I want to do is run away. I try to wriggle out of Hattie's grip, but she only clutches me tighter. It's by definition the most awful day ever. I hang my head and whimper, when will it end? And just like that, Hattie sets me down. She flies up the porch steps, charges into the house, and slams the door. Angel gives a little cry of surprise, then bolts after her. I curl up in the grass, covering my eyes. If I could get any smaller, I'd actually disappear. My heart is aching for him, Goldie murmurs. I wish there were something we could do, Patches says. A bee buzzes overhead, happy as can be, like all that matters is the next flower. Please go away, I yelp. I must have been lying in the grass for a very long time because the sun is dropping lower in the sky. Food lady opens the door. Fenway, she calls, like it's any ordinary supper time. Hey, maybe it is an ordinary supper time. Maybe whatever happened is over now. I trot inside and poke my head into the eating place. My supper dish is filled with food all right, but it's in the same spot as usual, on the wicked floor. And that's not the only bad news. Fetch man's at the table. But where's Hattie? Is she gone? I must find her. I blast around the corner and fly up the stairs. When I get to Hattie's room, I'm wildly out of breath and wildly relieved. Good news, she's in there. I want to dance around in celebration, but something horribly suspicious is going on. Hattie is opening drawers and packing things into a bag. I go to inspect them, but she grabs my collar. Stop it, she scolds, pulling me away. She grabs a rolled-up blanket from the closet. I chomp one end for tug-of-war, but Hattie sneers. Stop it, she yells again. I slink back. Hattie's upset, and she's packing things. It can only mean one thing. She's leaving. She must be stopped. Food lady and fetch man are either unaware or not up to the task. As usual, the job falls to me. If only I knew what to do. Hattie grabs her cap and goes to toss it into the bag with her other stuff, but then she stops. She scowls and tosses it on the dresser instead. She looks around the room as if searching for other things to pack. I follow her gaze to the bed. Aha! The used-to-be bear. That's how to stop her. I bound up and snatch it. I hop off and run around the room. Ha! Hattie can't leave now. Hattie hurls the bulging bag over her shoulder. She hugs the rolled-up blanket. I prance in front of her, waggling the used-to-be bear. I prepare to take off the moment she goes in for the chase, but she barely notices. She heads for the door and races down the hall. Whoa, how did that not work? I drop the used-to-be bear and race out of the room. It's all I can do to keep up with her. She dashes into the eating place, where Fetch Man and Food Lady greet her with concerned faces and lots of chatter. Fetch Man's voice is soothing. Food Lady's sounds more like pleading. Hattie clutches the blanket roll to her chest. Her body is tense and trembling with her hackles, like her hackles are raised. She shouts angry words for a long time, tears sliding down her face. Finally, she stomps her foot. She glares at them, waiting for them to respond, but they are quiet. Fetch Man hangs his head, then looks up at Food Lady with sad eyes. She gazes back at him, her hand on her forehead. Fetch Man opens his mouth to say something, but doesn't. Food Lady's eyes get watery. What's wrong with them? Can't they see that Hattie's running away? They're not even saying anything. Why aren't they trying to stop her? Food Lady shrugs her shoulders like she has no choice but to give up. Fetch Man sighs loudly and puts his arm around her. Let her go, he says. I have no idea what he just said, but they're not doing a thing. They're just letting her go. Hattie can't leave. I must find a way to stop her. Fetch Man speaks to Hattie in a warning voice. He goes to a cabinet and takes out a small light. Food Lady opens another cabinet and pulls out a bottle that I recognize right away. It makes an awful hissing sound and sprays a smelly, choky mist. I back off, even though there's no way she can reach me. Hattie marches to the sliding door. Fetch Man and Food Lady follow with a small light and choky spray. Are they actually helping her leave? I have to do something. I can't let my short human run away. I'm running in circles, desperate for an idea, when I spot Hattie's rolled-up blanket and her bulging bag, right in the middle of the wicked floor. How long before she realizes she's forgotten them and heads back? I could steal that blanket. The bag, too. I could hide them where she'd never look. She wouldn't be able to leave. It's the greatest idea ever. But I have to hurry. She could be back any second. I'm about to race into the eating place when the flaw in my plan hits me like a door in my face. Her things are on the wicked floor. I've faced this situation before, and I did not win. But the stakes have never been higher. There must be a way. I dart back and forth in the hallway. How can I force the wicked floor to surrender Hattie's things? I'm exhausting myself from racing and pacing, but I'm a professional. It's my life's work to protect my humans from danger. I can't let a wicked floor keep me from doing my job. I swipe a paw across its evil surface. It's smooth and slick as ever, but a dog's gotta do what a dog's gotta do. I plant both paws on the floor's gleaming wickedness, and instantly my brown paw slides away. The white one buckles awkwardly under my chest. I crumple, splat, across the doorway. Ouch, I yelp. Yow! Yow! My hind claws dig into the carpeting. I ease myself back out into the safety of the hall. I try to lick the soreness out of my paw. Too bad I can't lick away what's really hurting. Hattie is running away without me. I stop mid-lick to growl at the wicked floor. I'll get you, I bark. Somehow. Hattie bursts back into the eating place as determined as ever, although judging by the nauseating smell, she lost a battle with the choky spray. She rushes over and collects her bag and rolled-up blanket. She turns and heads out. I hear the back door slide open. She does not say goodbye. She does not even look back. I race around the corner to the door and peer through the screen. Hattie climbs up the giant tree, and then she is gone.